Next time you're digging into a bowl of rice, think about this. Women were probably the ones to produce that rice, especially if it comes from Asia. Women are the main producers of staple foods such as rice, wheat, and maize in the world's poorest regions. In fact, women in rural areas across the globe are responsible for more than half of the planet's food production, and that figure jumps to 70% in most countries in the developing world. Working the fields for generations, women also possess vast knowledge about indigenous farming techniques, genetic diversity, seeds and foods and medicines from forests and plants. But to what extent are women consulted, or even considered, in development strategies? One non-governmental organization says women are not involved enough in the development of sustainable agricultural management. WOCAM, Women Organizing for Change in Agriculture and Natural Resource Management, says not all approaches to development are in the best interests of women. And that's because few women are part of the decision-making process. Jeanette Gurung is director of WOCAM. She spoke to Lucas Duran.
We are a global network, international network, of about 510 members of women and men in about 80 countries of the world. All of our members are professionals who work in agriculture, forestry, livestock, fisheries, etc., and people who have a strong interest in gender equality. WOCAM is a women-led organization in the natural resource management field, and that makes it quite unique. Both agriculture and natural resource management sectors are traditionally and still very dominated by males, and a male perspective on the world, and a male's a way that's more comfortable for men than women to work in. So what's happened is there are a number of us, I'm a forester by profession, who study these fields thinking that we're, number one, equal to men. And then 20 years later, we realize that the men are in positions of decision-making power and authority when we are often not. So in a career progression, women are very much disadvantaged in these organizations. But the more important reason is that many women in the developing countries study these sectors of agriculture and forestry in order to help poor rural women farmers. And by being in such low positions inside the organizations, they do not have the power to affect the decisions related to getting resources and services to be of advantage and benefit to rural women farmers.
Which are the main objectives?
Number one is, I would say, to build women's leadership. We have seen very much that women who work in these sectors are often without the confidence, without the skills on how to influence processes of change inside their own organizations and their own communities. Number two, and this is very important for WOCAM, is we believe that the organizations themselves need to change dramatically in order for us to have a sustainable support to women farmers. We think there's not much long-term good in simply trying to deliver services directly to women farmers on a short-term basis. The institutions such as the government departments of agriculture, livestock, forestry, these are the institutions and NGOs that need to change so that they are accountable to women farmers and delivering services. So WOCAM's work very much focuses on organizational change for gender equality.
But how?
We have seen again and again that when individual women and men have the idea of change, have the strength of conviction, have a network of allies, and some skills in how to influence change inside their organization, they can do it. They cannot do it alone. They need at least a few other colleagues that they need around them who understand the issues, who are willing and committed to make the change. And they need, of course, some financial support to give them some power and authority. And they need an outside group of allies who can push strategically to affect the process of change. So we identify partner agencies around the world through projects. We then have a course we give training on gender and organizational change with a few of the people from inside those organizations who we train as change agents. They know best. They're inside of their organization. They understand the culture of the organization, the mandate, the policies, the ways of working. They are the ones who need to bring about the change. And so we partner with them. We offer capacity building, training workshop, key little bits of strategic funding. They prepare an action plan and we mentor them and support them to fulfill.
Who finances this kind of action?
So far, we've had support from IFAD, who's been a very key donor of ours right from the beginning. We've also had some support from Canadian CEDA, from IDRC, which is a Canadian-funded development research organization. Some support from FAO in small ways as well. But we're hoping that we can significantly increase these resources. Also, I would like to say, because now the hot burning issue is that of climate change, and women and gender issues as related to climate change is so far not been given very much attention at all, although we have a lot of data that show that women will be more impacted negatively by climate change than men, and women are also in a unique position, we believe, to positively address issues of climate change, etc. But again, we must change the organizations that are going to channel the funds for climate change and carbon financing so that they understand this very important role of women as farmers and as natural resource managers.
You are a very young organization network. Which are the main problems you find in your everyday action?
We've almost grown so quickly that in a way it's the danger is, of course, that we our ideals, our ambitions grow faster than our capacity to address the issues is. We are small. The funding is difficult to get to pay for personnel. The funding is often targeted towards projects at the developing country level and at the institutional level, and no one ever wants to pay for the coordination of those inputs, which is quite a big task. Our answer to this, I mean, again, members in 80 countries, how do you engage these members who are all so very keen and anxious to volunteer and help? Our answer to this has been to hold what we call regional meetings of members. We held our first one in Cameroon for Western and Central African members. We bring together women members and only women because we find that women speak honestly when they're all together alone without men. For 4 days, they start to reflect on what it means to be a woman in a male-dominated organization. They come together with great energy and enthusiasm. They form a kind of a collective action plan, and then we then try to obtain some funding to help realize some of the action plan ideas they have. We've done it for West and Central Africa. We will be doing it for Eastern and Southern Africa in a meeting in Uganda. Then following that, we'll do it again for South Asia. It's a way we become face-to-face, we get to know our members and try to see who's the most interested and what can be done on the ground.
What can be the contribution then that men can give to the organization, to the work?
This, we feel, is a very important question, and we feel this is a very unique part of WOCAN. It's just not possible to get anything done substantially without men. And we recognize that much of the gender equality agenda in the past has been framed by a feminist perspective, which is nothing wrong with that, but it leaves very little space for men to be able to understand how to engage in this. And we know so many men who are extremely supportive of this kind of agenda, but have simply not found the right space and the right actions that they feel could be given to support women leaders while not themselves taking over the ownership and the direction. It's a very, very interesting new space that we're defining. We have men gender trainers amongst us, our core team, and we find that when men talk to men about gender issues, it's of course completely different dynamics, and men can really be honest without having to hide and say certain things that they feel women want to hear. Men can be honest with other men and talk about how it is as a man and how it is to be a masculine man to talk about gender equality and women's empowerment.
You are an American who knows very well the Asian context. You have lived there for a certain number of years. How could you describe the differences compared American and, let's say, Western world compared to the Asia in terms of women position and role?
In many ways, I think the gender issues are the same. The I don't want to say a problem in the West. Certainly women are in much better position in developed countries in Europe and North America. However, it's a little bit deceiving because it's not so obvious. So there are many women, particularly of a younger generation, who honestly believe that gender equality was a problem of the past, that their mothers took care of, and they no longer have to face these problems. Women of Asia do not have any such misunderstanding of the situation. In many Asian countries, the problems are so obvious that it's much easier to talk about gender equality and the lack of that than it is in countries of Europe and North America.
At least here in Italy, we all often hear about quotas. From your experience, do you think it's a good measure?
I think sometimes it's a first step and only a first step. It seems in some arenas it's so difficult for women to break into those spaces, politically important spaces, key positions in United Nations governments, United Nations organization in governments. If we do not, unfortunately, what experience has shown us in the history, if we do not create those spaces, men simply do not allow women to come up, either intentionally or often unintentionally. The spaces need to be created, but obviously just stopping there is not the answer, because there's a question not only of quantity, but of quality. We have many women in positions who really are not gender-responsive, gender-sensitive women, who are not thinking about their use of that quota space to bring up other women and to bring up gender issues. So part of Wokan's work as well is to educate women about their responsibility and commitment to other women who are, you know, down the ladder or in a less privileged position.
And Mrs. Groom, would the world would be better with a woman UN Secretary General, a woman American, Indian, Chinese, Russian president?
If that was, yes, I mean, of course, I have to say it would bring a new perspective, particularly if she's gender sensitive, and particularly if women of the world and of her constituents would start to hold her accountable and start to demand that she not play the game in the same way that men have forever and ever, but that she use that opportunity to bring things in a new way. The question is for other women to hold these women leaders accountable.
Jeanette Gurung is Director of Women Organizing for Change in Agriculture and Natural Resource Management. Well, you can find more information about them on the web at WOCAM, that's WOCAM.org.